This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, June 18th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, Amy Guida in Legal Issues in the News looks at the sleepwalking defense. Now, there really is such a thing. We'll also get a forecast for the week from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. For the first time in 19 years, Illinois American Water is asking its Champaign County customers to restrict their non-essential water use. Illinois American Water spokesman Barry Suit says since Sunday of last week, the utility seen an average increase in water usage of 1 million gallons a day. Suit says customers can help reduce the demand by conserving water until the dry weather breaks. Suit says the request for voluntary water restrictions is Illinois American's first since the severe drought of 1988. He says the restrictions will be lifted when weather conditions change. A private foundation that raises money for public schools in Champaign and Urbana wants to take its work to the next level, but to do so, it's asking the two local school districts for a little seed money. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation gives out over $100,000 a year in grants and scholarships to help students and programs in Unit 4 and District 116. But foundation officials say they could triple their giving if they had more staff to go out and raise money. They currently have one part-time employee. They're asking the two school districts to commit to a total of $90,000 a year to help pay for the new staff. They predict that in 5 years, the new staff will be self-sustaining. Foundation Vice Chairman Philip Van Ness says private fundraising is becoming an increasingly necessary part of public school financing.
We need to get out of the bake sale mindset. That's our main thrust. And have a professional, trained, experienced staff person working full-time at the job that we see going on all over the country.
Foundation officials will outline their proposal to the Urbana School Board Tuesday night. They addressed the Champaign School Board last week. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Dive teams have recovered the body of an apparent drowning victim who had been missing since Saturday afternoon on Lake Shelbyville. 23-year-old Clifford Miller of Champaign was pronounced dead over the weekend yesterday by Coroner Brian Green, who said Miller was last seen by other passengers on a houseboat at around 4 p.m. Saturday. Green says an autopsy will be performed today in Springfield, and results of a toxicology report are forthcoming. A coroner's inquest is also pending. Autopsy results show a man who went missing with his granddaughter drowned in the Kankakee River and did not suffer a heart attack. Kankakee County Coroner Bob Gessner says 62-year-old Dave Klemecki had a strong heart. The 5-year-old girl appeared alive and well not long after searchers pulled Klemecki's body from the river last week. A spokeswoman for Governor Ralph Blagojevich says the governor traveled the state extensively this spring to talk to taxpayers about his proposed budget. Spokeswoman Rebecca Rausch says that explains a published report over the weekend which said that Blagojevich spent fewer than 200 hours in Springfield from March 1st to June 8th. A column in the Springfield State Journal Register says, according to state travel records, Blagojevich spent only 5 nights in Springfield during that 3-month span. Rausch says the governor's been to Springfield part of every week the legislature's been in session since he announced his budget. She says the governor thinks it's important to both be at the Capitol and to visit with Illinois residents to let them know what lawmakers are doing. Reporters aren't the only ones who are asking state lawmakers questions these days. As Sean Crawford reports, the public wants to know why there's difficulty in coming up with a state budget deal.
State Representative Mike Boland says he's heard from several people in his district who wonder what's going on at the Capitol.
A lot of them are frustrated with the process. They can't understand why we can't get an agreement. And others are, you know, concerned about specific things. And a lot of the folks who really depend upon the state, home care workers and things like that, they're obviously quite worried.
Boland, a Quad Cities Democrat, says the public expects lawmakers and the governor to finish their work on time. The legislature has been in an overtime session for more than 2 weeks. Boland says as the July 1st deadline for having a new budget in place gets closer, he expects he'll hear from even more constituents. More budget talks are expected this week. I'm Sean Crawford.
And today is the scheduled beginning of closing arguments in the trial of former Hollinger International CEO Conrad Black in Chicago. Black and three others are charged with stealing millions of dollars from shareholders of the media company which used to own the Chicago Sun-Times. Diantha Parker has that story.
Closing arguments will probably take all week. The prosecution will stress their central point, that Hollinger was a public company, but their evidence shows Black treated it like a personal bank account. They'll also remind jurors of Black's lavish lifestyle and the sense of entitlement he often expressed to both colleagues and friends. The defense will answer that the money Black allegedly took was legally his, approved by Hollinger's board of directors. They'll also say that being rich is not a crime, and that Black earned his money fairly over the course of a nearly 40-year career. Black's facing 13 charges, which include tax evasion, mail fraud, conspiracy, and obstruction of justice. He and his co-defendants maintain they're innocent. I'm Diantha Parker.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. You've probably seen people sleepwalking in cartoons, but it can be a very serious matter, especially in criminal cases where defendants claim that sleepwalking made them do it. Here's commentator Amy Guida with this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
It all started way back in 1879. A man named Mr. Fain fell asleep in a Kentucky hotel lobby. After a while, the hotel porter tried to wake him by shaking him. Mr. Fain looked up, got up, and asked what the porter wanted. The porter said that Mr. Fain needed to go to his room. Mr. Fain promptly pulled a pistol and killed the porter. Mr. Fain claimed at trial that he'd been sleepwalking when he shot, and he offered to present evidence proving it. The judge wasn't impressed and didn't let the jury hear the sleepwalking defense. Jurors convicted Mr. Fain, who eventually appealed the conviction and won. The appellate court said that if Fain was sleepwalking, he wouldn't be responsible because our law only punishes for overt acts done by responsible moral agents. After that legal success, other people began to use the sleepwalking defense. In fact, by the year 1925, courts seemed to be tiring of the "sorry, I sleepwalked" response to a criminal charge. A court that year complained that sleepwalking and similar claims had become too common and were but desperate attempts by defendants to escape the consequences of their actions. Desperate and mostly unsuccessful. There have been 30 or so cases that directly discuss the issue since the Fain decision. One ultimately successful sleepwalking defense happened in a civil case. When a sleepwalker killed her allegedly abusive husband in 1945, a jury absolved her on sleepwalking grounds. She then sued for money from the husband's estate and won. She walked because she sleepwalked. The sleepwalkers who went to the slammer include a man from Illinois who in 1991 raised a sleepwalking defense at trial for murdering his wife. Another, a man from Alaska who claimed unsuccessfully that he was sleepwalking when he sexually abused a girl. Turns out that sleepwalking is a not-so-novel defense in child sex abuse cases. Other cases involve assault and vehicular homicide. Even though most courts tell the sleepwalking defendants to wake up and smell the coffee, there have been some partial victories for sleepwalkers. One Delaware court in 2005 allowed a defendant to withdraw a guilty plea based on a sleepwalking defense, but noted that it was not saying that it believed that sleepwalking had actually occurred. And a guy in Michigan got a new trial after the trial judge had rejected his sleepwalking evidence. But those outcomes are rare. In fact, I'd say that there's an apt description in the dictionary for many of these cases: to invent fictitiously or deceptively as a story or an excuse. Isn't it ironic that that's the definition for the word feign, F-E-I-G-N, a sound-alike for the man who started it all back in 1879, Mr. Fain, F-A-I-N. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Some chances of rain finally move into our dry area, in the two-state area, over the next couple of days. But it will be sort of hit or miss, according to our forecaster, Mike Sola. For today, in southwestern Illinois, cloudy with scattered showers and a few thunderstorms this morning. In central Illinois, as well as southwest Indiana, partly to mostly sunny with a slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm. Elsewhere, just partly to mostly sunny. Highs today from 85 in western Illinois to 95 in eastern Indiana. For tonight, in western Illinois, showers and thunderstorms in the evening. In eastern Illinois and western Indiana, becoming cloudy with showers and thunderstorms mainly after midnight. In southern and eastern Indiana, clear to partly cloudy. Lows from around 60 in northwest Illinois to 72 in southern Indiana. And for tomorrow, sunshine returns in western Illinois. For the remainder of Illinois and in northern and central Indiana, partly sunny with a slight chance for a few lingering showers and thunderstorms during the morning, then becoming mostly sunny. In southern Indiana, a chance of showers and thunderstorms still, and highs tomorrow ranging from only 78 in far northern Illinois to 87 in southern Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, June 18th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.